ring, ring.
Here we go, Chuckley Sherry Elliker show. Yeah, starring Sherry Elliker.
Ring, ring.
You know, sometimes I feel sorry for you.
Sometimes? Ring, ring.
Seriously, you're like my sister. I was talking to my sister today. Oh, the years of torture. And then, you know, now I'm older and I don't have her around, but I got you.
You got me.
And it is just, it's just so much fun.
Ring, ring.
I should say that what happened was earlier, I knew I'd do this to you, and I knew I'd do it to you. I said, oh, why you do ring, ring, and I'll pick up the phone. I'll try a new hello. And then, and the sound of your voice, Sherry, you were so happy to do it. And I thought, oh, she.
Ring, ring.
And I just let you keep going, ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Yeah, that's the mark of a good fall guy.
Yeah.
The good foil, right?
Straight
every
man.
Time.
Okay, funny, yeah. Greatest straight man in the world. Greatest straight man in the world.
Always enthusiastic.
Yes. Ring, ring.
Oh, you really want to that straight man joke along. Again? Do it again.
No, I'm not. No. 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 Now,
come on,
now you're toying
work.
With me. No, I see what you're
no.
doing. No. Oh, no. Not so fast. Now you're toying with me. Why don't you tell that joke again? Screw you.
Ring, ring.
Okay. Why are we taxing the plastic bag? So remember when when the government panicked? Okay, it was a Jeff Duchin or somebody. Don't bring your bags to the grocery store. You were going to lift the ban on plastic bags because of the pandemic. Remember that old stupid thing?
Mm-hmm.
Your virus is going to be spreading on your reusable bags, everybody, at Whole Foods. So we're going to let you use plastic bags. I'm sure people are really upset about having using plastic bags. So now people are upset, Jesse Jones finds out that we pay tax on the plastic bag.
A simple request for a bag has Stephanie Yazel feeling taxed.
And he said, that's 9 cents. And I said, 9 cents? The bag fee is $8. And he said, it's taxable.
Hopefully it encourages people to bring their own bags.
Yep. Dan Schachter from Ken's Market in Seattle says the state's bag fee, which was enacted last fall, is subject to sales tax.
Every 8 cent bag is a 9 cent charge to the consumer.
By the way, just so you know, I looked it up because I have no life. The cost to the grocery store is 1 cent per bag.
So a plastic bag.
One bag, yeah.
Every time.
Okay.
Every time. And if it's a double bag, that's 18 cents.
But it's not pennies when you multiply it by the amount of commerce that goes on in a state in a day or a week or a month.
The average family of four uses 1,040 plastic bags a year. Again, I have no life.
A lot.
I have a problem with the taxing of a fee. To me, that's just another way to stick your hand in somebody's pocket.
Why are we taxing the fee? Right. So really the way it's set up is they are selling that bag. So that bag is a sale. So in this state, we tax sales.
Strom Peterson wrote the first bag law in the state as a councilman for the city of Edmonds more than a decade ago. As a state.
Oh, I'd love to be able to debate that guy in a bar. Oh. Or just anywhere, but a bar.
Mm-hmm. More than like something that would be official. You would rather do it in a bar.
Yeah, you're just sitting there and chatting with a guy. And they go, oh, yeah, what do you, oh, have you met, what's the guy's name? Whatever. Yeah, you met him? Yeah, he's the guy that came up with the bag. Oh, really? And then I would just, I'd take him apart like a plastic bag.
Representative, he is the force behind the state law that went into effect last October. His goal? Singular.
This law will reduce the factor of plastic bags in Washington by millions. Literally millions of bags of those thin little flimsy plastic bags won't be used in Washington.
Okay, so here's what I'd say to him. So of the three choices, paper, recyclable bag that you carry in there or plastic? What is better for the environment? Oh, this guy would say, oh, and you know, the one you carry in. I would then explain that the amount of damage done to the environment by having to grow the cotton, to be able to harvest the cotton, to be able to have fertilizer on the cotton, the runoff from the field, the cotton bag is the worst. Second in the list is then the paper bag, because that also involves runoff and fertilizer as you have to grow the trees. And then all that fertilizer runs into the water supply. The best thing of the three, although all are horrible apparently, plastic is the best. That's Todd Myers from the Washington Policy Center. Boom, done. You owe me a beer.
You think he'd be okay with that? Okay.
Boom, done, you owe me beer? Yeah.
But is the law working for grocers?
We haven't really seen, you know, more people bring their own reusable bags. The volume of paper bags that come out the store are about the same.
Dan's store goes through 17,000 paper bags a month.
Do you break even with the fee or not?
No, these paper bags here cost us 26 cents a piece.
And according to the Department of Ecology, the law impacts almost all retail businesses.
Clothing stores, McDonald's, so most any restaurant retail.
Laura Davies is the Solid Waste Program Manager for the Department of Ecology, the agency that enforces the law.
Thin film plastic bags, and they need to be replaced by reusable bags by customers, or customers can...
No, oh, I hope she would be at the bar with him. They'd both be out.
You take them both on.
Oh.
Would you do one at a time, or let them be on a team, and then you would just, you'd let them have their own little, you know, duo thing, and you would take them both at the same time?
Yeah, you know, I'd have like a Harvey Wallbanger or something with a straw in it, and I wouldn't even look up at them. I would just be just stirring the thing and just talking straight ahead. Maybe there's a mirror in front of me, like at those bars with the mirrors, and I don't even actually make contact with them, and I'm just slowly just lowing, boom, each fact, bang, bang,
and
bang.
You'd have like soft voice, so they'd have to lean in to listen to you, but you just have this stream of consciousness, like you knew exactly what you were going to say.
And yeah. And I'd take the straw, and I'd certainly just twist it slowly, and then I'd take a sip, and then put the thing back down again. Yeah, that's exactly how it would work, and I just finish them off that way. And
boom,
I turn over.
You
met my. Have you met my partner here, Sherry?
And
you.
Boom.
Go, done. You owe me a beer.
Yeah. Ring, ring.
Yeah.
Ring, ring.
And they're like, "What the hell is she saying?"
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. I've lost track of Jesse's story. The good news is, Jacob, sum it all up.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't prepared for this responsibility. There's, you know, the good news. Well, actually, Jesse Jones, I think he ends the piece by saying, you know, he just recommends people, actually, if you want to avoid all this, avoid the fee, avoid the 1 cent tax on top of the fee. You just don't bring it. Bring your
10.1% sales tax rate goes to the state and the regional transportation authority.
We've seen some businesses that should be charging the bag fee, and they don't. But because of COVID, the enforcement rollout has been real slow. And since no one's been taken to task yet, I won't be a snitch. But I know who you are.
Sorry, I forgot you like. Yeah,
I'm with
a threat to the. Oh, this is some stores aren't even assessing the fee at all. So you could also, I suppose, go to a store that just isn't complying with state law.
Oh, I see. Oh, got it. How about this woman? My brother sent me this and said, I don't know why I love this story so much, but Duke's senior commencement speech appears plagiarized from a 2014 address at Harvard. Did they catch her because she actually said, we as graduates of Harvard, or did she was able to change that part of it?
No, she, the Duke people, actually, the school, the Duke Chronicle, the school's independent newspaper, reported on the similarities after they compared the two speeches. She won a contest. She won a contest because what she had to do was she had to write like some kind of a 250-word speech outline. This was in March. And they selected, you know, her speech as the one to be given. And here's what she said. When I was asked to give the commencement speech, I was thrilled by such an honor, and I sought advice from respected friends and family about topics I might address. I was embarrassed and confused to find out too late that some of the suggested passages were taken from a recent commencement speech at another university. I take full responsibility for this oversight, and I regret if this incident has in any way distracted from the accomplishments of the Duke class of 2022. So she blamed it on people giving her stuff.
Blame on other people telling her. Okay.
When I first got here, someone told me.
This is Harvard 2014, but you probably knew that because most of you listening probably went to Harvard.
If Harvard shut its gates, it could be its own country, just like the Vatican.
I got a laugh. Wow.
I know.
They must have been drinking. And then here's your Duke graduate.
She soon came to realize that if Duke were to dig a moat around its perimeter and fill that with water, it could be its own tiny island nation, like Cuba or maybe even Sri Lanka.
Oh, there's more.
We had our own version of the Statue of Liberty, the John Harvard statue, our own embassies, the Harvard clubs of Boston and London, a tax collection agency, the Harvard Alumni Association.
Boom. Always do the jokes. Do three. That's how you do it right there. Boy, I've seen boom a lot. All right. That's an annoying thing, isn't it? Someone's as bad as Sherry's. Ring, 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 ring.
And an endowment larger than more than half the world's country's GDPs.
Okay. And now here's your Duke graduate.
We also have our own version of Christ the Redeemer, the statue of James Buchanan Duke standing atop an octagonal pedestal to grace Abelquad. We also have an IRS with its surprisingly bubbly fleet of tax collectors, the Duke Alumni Association. We also have the equivalent of the Federal Reserve, DUMAC, which manages an endowment larger than the GDP of one-third of the countries in the world.
Didn't get the laugh she's hoping for. How did somebody find this?
I don't know how they found it, but what's apparent is that when she said that she got advice from friends and family, this all came from one speech. So did all of her friends and family refer to this one speech? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? Like if somebody said, Socrates said this, or so-and-so said this, or whatever, right, and you kind of, you know, put something together.
But yeah.
Oh, so they all thought, oh, I'll send you little snippets from the exact same speech.
Come on. Is she the valedictorian, or was she the one chosen to give the speech?
Yeah, she just was chosen to give the speech.
Okay. Was she also nominated most likely to plagiarize from a Harvard speech?
she won that hands down, but I don't know how she got it. Yeah.
Here's how she finished it. Hold on.
Ring, ring.
Well, then she's plagiarizing from our show. So
that's sad. I had heard that more kids cheat in college than ever before. I mean, even the is it West Point that's got the like super duper rules? There's no cheating. If you cheat, then you get thumb screws or something like that. That cheating in college is rampant, and you're able to catch. There's all sorts of, you can have people write essays for you. You can go online, have essays written, and then there's apps that professors use that can stick your essay, your term paper in. It can find giant sections that have been lifted and plagiarized. Have you seen this thing?
Oh, yeah. It's very sophisticated now where you can, and I think you can go online and check and make sure that you're not plagiarizing somebody. There's some kind of program or something that you can do.
Yes, right. We used to get, thank God for the Encyclopedia Britannica. When I was a kid, we had the big blue, you know, all the books.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is just sit there, you know, like mitosis or meiosis. You just set your little copybook up, and you just, I would just lift out just the entire things and just be writing whatever is on mitosis and this. And then I wouldn't be paying attention. I would then, my eye wouldn't scan to the next line, and I'd just write it again. So it'd be like twice I'd written the exact same thing. And then, you know, you'd hand that in. Of course the person knew you'd just, you know, lifted it, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably did that, but I mean, you know, did the teacher also have the same encyclopedias where they could go back and take a look and find it? I mean, they probably would know from the vocabulary that you use if you're, you know, lifting something that sounds a lot more sophisticated than your regular speech, or something right. that a 9-year-old wouldn't say, that it's a little obvious.
You know? The guiltiest I've ever felt was when my mom went to help me with Moses and the burning bush and the tablets, mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments. And it was a big poster board, and I'm screwing it up. And she goes, here, let me just fill in the tablets for you. And with that, because she was an artist, she just took over and got really into it. And then she goes, oh, there, that's good. Now, why don't you do a little coloring down there? So I think I colored Moses' sandals. And I took it into school, and the teacher's like, oh, come on. And it was hanging up on the wall with all the other kids' work. And it was like, even the kids are like, how did you make the bushes on fire like that? It's like, oh, I use a technique.
I worked all night.
Yeah, my mom, even the teachers, why don't you take this home to your mom, and why don't you try to do the project on your own?
Mm. Oh, busted.
Now whenever I think about Moses and the burning bush, yeah, and the tablets. And I think one of them was, do not lie, do not steal, don't have your mom do your artwork. I think it was the 11th or 12th.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that you cheated on that particular assignment. But.
It wasn't my mom. That is my mom. She just took over on that one. I should have called her.
She was helping. Ring, ring.
There we go, Keel Mortgage. Everybody at Keel Mortgage, can't wait to hear from you. You want to talk about refinancing that house of yours, getting some of that equity out of it? Why not get in touch with the good people at Keel Mortgage? Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. Keel Mortgage. All right, I love these stories because do we hear the sound of the guys working the air traffic control? Imagine the most amazing people. I'd love to know what it is about their brains, how it works. They're the most calm people, aren't they? They're just amazing. There's one guy in New York that they call a Mean Joe or something like that. Rye was telling me about him. That nobody likes to talk to him because he's so short and he doesn't do well with, you know, pilots that don't know what they're doing. You know, go around. But most of these guys are amazing. And for this particular passenger who suddenly goes from passenger to pilot, it's the air traffic control that talks him in. Let's see. I don't want to oversell it. I didn't hear it ahead of time, Jacob. Is this any good?
Yeah, well, just start it. The beginning's the best, and it kind of tapers off.
All right, here we go. So he's the pilot, I think, is unconscious, so this guy gets on the radio.
Traffic, Air 333, Lima Delta. Come in.
Airman 333, Lima Delta, Fort Pierce Tower.
I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane, but I'm in training in 9100.
Number 333, Lima Delta, roger. What's your position?
I have no idea. I see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
First of all, let's give credit to a bunch of people here. The guy who has no idea how to fly also seems fairly calm, doesn't he?
He's completely calm through. I listened to the entire thing. He is incredibly calm. He never gets upset. They can't find him for a little while, for like 4 or 5 minutes. They don't know where he is, and they're trying mm-hmm. to figure that out. And he's not panicking. He's not demanding. He's not anything. He just stays with them, listens to what they say. It's a great story because the guy that they got to help him, the air traffic controller that they got to come in to help him, was on his break, and he was reading a book. And this guy, come to find out, is a flight instructor in his spare time.
Perfect.
And he printed out a picture of the cockpit that the guy was in so he would know what to tell him to do and direct him accordingly. I mean, imagine the quick thinking of that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Here we go.
Number 333 Lima Delta. Do you know how to operate the transponder? Can you squawk 7700?
I know how to do that. I know, but okay, that's me. I'm not in the plane. Hang on.
Good. Standby with the C. Repeat that frequency to swap.
Number 333 Lima Delta. Fable input 7700 into your transponder.
7700. Here.
So what he's doing is he's asking him, so there's a little device, you either turn it, but it's like an old De Havilland Beaver, or this one, it's a little box there on the right-hand side, and you just type that number in on the transponder so then they can find you, so they know where you are, and now he's able to see him.
November 3, Lima Delta, can you say again what the situation is?
Pilot, is it clear?
November 3, Lima Delta, I came in a little broken. What was the situation with the pilot?
He is incoherent. He is out.
Number 3, Lima Delta, roger. Try to hold the wings level and see if you can start descending for me. Push forward on the controls and descend at a very slow rate.
Yeah, I'm descending right now at 550 feet a minute, passing 8640.
Number 33, Lima Delta, roger, and continue the descent and try to level off at 5,000 feet.
You know, if this guy ever does this again, try to get a little closer to the mic. I mean, let's criticize the guy. Try to keep the wings level. Could you get a little closer to the mic in case anybody wants to play this on their radio show?
Remember, 3 Lima Delta, maintain wings level and just try to follow the coast either north or southbound. We're trying to locate you.
Can I say I feel like he knows too much to say that he doesn't know anything about flying a plane? There's like a few questions they ask him that he knows the answer to that I feel like I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, kind of Gilding the Lily there.
Sure.
Like, I've got no idea what I'm doing.
Wink, wink. Yeah, you can't see. You can't see what he's.
Yeah, I've never been in an airplane. How do you spell it? Okay.
Yeah, and even in the beginning, like, didn't he use the lingo? Like, in the very beginning, like, you know, Alpha Delta, you know, Bing Bong, whatever. I mean, didn't he know that? I mean, if it was anybody else, he'd be, help.
Oh, yeah, you know? Okay, so I'm going to cut his part of it out of it. You be the pilot, all right? Hold on a second.
Okay, then I'm comatose if I'm the pilot.
No. Yeah. All right, you be comatose. I'll
incoherent.
Be the guy talking.
Okay.
That's him knowing the Bing Bong stuff. Okay, so ready? You're going to. The guy's going to talk to you, Sherry. You be you, right?
Okay.
Airman 333, Lima Delta, Fort Pierce Tower.
What is Lima Delta? Is that like a sorority? I don't know what that means. Tell me something else. Please. I don't know what I'm looking at. There's no steering wheel. There's no brake. There's nothing.
00.
00 what?
Stand by with the
I didn't even understand what you're saying.
What frequency? 333 Lima Delta.
First of all, you get me more panicked, Sherry.
I am panicked. I don't know what to
do. No, girly, be screaming like a girl.
Then I'll have to scream. Okay, go ahead. All right, go. You be. Okay.
Aircraft down. You can proceed on 10.
Palm Beach Ground Airport 4. It's a fire station with Ops 44 and one blue light. Like, proceed out to the runway.
Yep, proceed on 10 left. American 1845, you can make the left turn there, hold short of 10 left. It's going to be a couple minutes. You just witness a couple passengers land that plane.
We'll hold short of 10 left, American 1845.
Man, they did a great job.
Oh, he's already landed? I've been screaming. I missed the whole story.
That's correct.
How the hell you were.
Oh, my gosh. No, great job.
No flying experience.
We're gonna call BS on that. Yeah. Get the cat out on that one. No flying experience. Yeah, he knew the Delta Bing.
Big bell that time.
Do you have a cow
what?
Now? yeah, he knew too many Bing Bong things, right? And I always make fun of Rye because I used to say to him, oh, the Cessna, that's the Cessna 172, the thing they call that thing the Landomatic. He's like, Dad, it's not that easy. I said, yeah, the Landomatic. Will you find the Landomatic? Because I'd like to see you fly it. So
I wonder what Rye would think if he heard this, if he would think the guy had a little too much, you know, he was a little too much in the know.
He would be right in there with you, being highly skeptical of it. I used to, the De Havilland Beaver used to fly with EV Magazine. We would get up to whatever, 3,000 or 4,000 feet, and then The pilot would then go, okay, you have it. Just keep it on that heading for the next 45 minutes. And then I would just fly it. It was great.
Wait, fly it like how? Like, would you touch anything? Does that just mean it?
No, just hold on to the thing and just look straight ahead. And one day, Daryl's in the back, and the pilot's sitting in the back reading, and I'm flying the thing, and all of a sudden, it just stops. The propeller stops, which isn't good. And Daryl starts yelling, do something! Do something! And Denny says, you need to switch over to the other tank. You're out of gas. And Daryl's in the back, come on, Denny, seriously, do something! And it's just that kind of quiet, sort of, we're just sort of gliding. And you had to switch over to the other tank, which is in the other pontoon or whatever. And then you had to prime it to get the thing. And, that point was terrifying. Yeah, we used to fly it all the time. Just take it up and just keep it going. And then when we get down to a certain place, Denny would then take it over and then land it for us. It was fun. And I sold it at an auction one time, flying the plane and then fly the plane. This kid was 4 years old or 5 years old. Let him take the seat. We swung the yoke over, and then he goes, okay, we're going to go to the right. Just going to turn a little to the right. And the kid just took the yoke and just turned it hard to the right. The whole plane goes flips right. Over. The left wing goes way up in the air. All the crap in the plane flies over. And we're like, okay, new rule. Five-year-olds, not allowed to fly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whose brilliant idea was that?
It was mine. I wanted to give the child an experience.
Okay.
All right.
Glad that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at you not enjoying the story. You immediately look. You're sniffing out the fake stuff. You and your cat, Sherry. All right. Mickey's got traffic for us.
I sure do.
Sherry's going to be judging your traffic the whole time, Mary. Here we go, the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show, starring Sherry Elicker and Bobby Benson. Robbie Benson.
Robbie Benson, nice, and then there's Barbie Benton or Bobby Benton.
I got caught up in that thing this morning. I'm looking, and it was one of these things now. You would be amazed at what they look like now. It was Anne Margaret. Like, look at it. Yeah, and then you clicked on that, and then you have to
go through 40 pictures. Or it says Jacqueline Smith is almost 100. Look at what she looks like now. And I'm thinking, is she really almost 100?
I know. And then you keep clicking. And I keep thinking, I'm infecting my phone. I keep clicking. And I'm like, why do I care what she looks like? And I can't stop myself. Ugh.
Yeah, I've done that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Or kids. Oh, really? Like the kids, yeah, like you'll see the celebrities' kids, like you won't believe what they look like, you know, 10 years ago or something like that. And you just go through them all. Yeah. Don't worry. It happens.
It does. Okay. I didn't know this. I didn't realize, but Hollywood screenwriters reveal that TV characters, they never say the word goodbye.
Why do actors in movies and television not say goodbye when they end a phone call?
In TV, we call lines like that shoe leather. Shoe leather might make a scene feel more realistic, but it doesn't necessarily make the scene more entertaining. Now, in TV, we also have running times, so we have to turn in a cut to the network, let's say 22 minutes. They won't accept 22 minutes and 30 seconds. Knowing this, we always shoot long, maybe 25 minutes, knowing that not every scene is going to be great. We want to have the liberty to trim and pace up a bit, but we don't know where. The first 2 or 3 minutes are easy to cut, but that last minute is hard. And you're like, well,
this is how we produce the show every day too. We really just dial it right down right. Every minute. Jacob's like, you think you can find another 20 seconds?
If I cut the guy saying goodbye, maybe I get to keep my favorite joke, right? Eventually you get to the point where you're not even writing goodbye into the script, knowing from experience that you're just going to cut it later. Now, here's the thing. If you really like hearing people say goodbye when they end a phone call, you can go to almost any coffee shop and eavesdrop. 9 times out of 10, a person will end a phone call by saying goodbye, and you're going to be in heaven.
Okay, and he's a comedy writer?
Yeah, he's trying really hard, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I could have done? Hold on a second. Let's see. How long is this thing? This was
54 seconds.
We could have cut that whole thing, Jacob, and saved ourselves 54 seconds. They don't say goodbye on TV shows and movies. I had never noticed that. And
I didn't either.
I'd rather
look at
pictures of Anne Margaret with a really bad facelift.
I asked a friend of mine about this. I was like, I saw this article about not saying goodbye. And she's like, yeah. That's a thing. And I said, she said, yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine. That's a thing. Is it? I never even noticed. It didn't occur to me that they don't say goodbye. They just hang up the phone, or they don't even show them really. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but apparently people have noticed and it bothers them.
I think the better question and the better sort of establishing of the character is when they answer the phone. I remember when I was in sales, sell medical supplies and stuff. I thought, I'm going to be the guy that answers the phone, not when customers are calling, but like other people. I like when the phone, yeah, talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, like, the guy starts right out with, Curly here, or just something. I wanted a kind of like a catchphrase or sort of a way to answer the phone. And my father used to go, hello. That was my dad. Hello. I kind of like that, but that was his. So I was trying to come up. Yeah. Talk to me. Yeah. Bing, bing. Talk to me.
That kind of cooler than hello.
Yeah. Do ring, ring. I'll try a couple different ones.
Okay. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
I saw it was you. I was just letting it go to voicemail.
Okay, come on.